Welcome to Walking in the Word, the weekly teaching series by pastor, teacher, evangelist Eric W. Stansberry, located in Las Vegas, Nevada. This podcast is brought to you every week with the hope of blessing you to find to strengthen your walk with Christ. And now, your teacher, Pastor Stansberry.
Fellowship from West Phoenix, Nevada, Phoenix, Arizona. Sorry, I don't know my state. I've taught social studies, it's kind of bad. My name is Dr. Eric Stansberry, and I am your senior pastor here at Restoration Bible Fellowship, and so glad that you're with us today. A lot to do today. We're going to start off with prayer, as always, and then, of course, we're going to be looking at having a song, Who Am I? By Rusty Goodman, and I hope that you'll enjoy that. And I also want to also today go over a sermon the Lord downloaded into my spirit this morning about 3 o'clock called Where Are the Other Nine? So as always, I want us to go to the Lord in prayer and ask His guidance and blessing on today's service. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we thank You so much for all that You're doing in and through our lives today. Lord, I pray for Billy and Bobby Parker. God, I pray for Sean and Michelle in Las Vegas. I pray, God, for Bishop Sizemore in North Carolina and Bishop Lee back in our hometown of in our home base of Las Vegas. I pray, Lord, for all of the churches, for Lee and Kim, God, that You'll bless and heal all of them. Help each of them, Father, to walk in the newness of life that is found in You. And Father God, I pray that today You'll move me out of the way and let Your voice be what they hear. Not my voice, not my words, but Your voice and Your words. And for what we know You're going to do both in and through this service today, we're going to give You the praise and the glory. And the honor that's due the name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So we're going to try this song. I've not played it since I played it for my dad a long time ago. So I hope that if I miss a chord or two here and there, that you'll just listen to the intent of my heart.
Think of how He came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary, take my place. Then I ask myself this question, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that God, my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, why He ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross He'd go. For who am I? When I'm reminded of His words, I'll leave You never. Just be true, I'll give to You life forever and forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son. Fight my battles until they're won, for who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that He would pray, not my will, but thine for? The answer I for who am I? Would lead or and die for? Who am I that he would pray not my will blind for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so. To an old rugged cross, he'd go. For who am I? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so. To an old rugged cross, he'd go. For who am I?
And I don't know if you have ever asked yourself that question. Who am I? You know, a lot of people, and I've even been guilty of it, wonder sometimes, and we look and go, I want to know who I am, what I am. But we need to realize we are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm excited to be with you today on our second broadcast here from Phoenix, Arizona, at my new home that God has blessed us to move into. And we believe that God has great things in store for us here. I will be assuming a leadership role at a school here in Arizona during the school year as assistant principal. Excited about that. And I feel like we're here started work for God, and I want you to be in prayer about that. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to leave kind of my series in Psalms because the Lord woke me up this morning about 3 o'clock and asked me a question in my spirit. It wasn't an audible voice. I don't think I'm, you know, telling you I heard an audible voice. He said, where the other night? And I thought, huh? And as he took me back through the story of the 10 leprous men. So if you have your Bible, go to Luke 17. We're going to start reading with verse number 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he had saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, Jesus' feet, giving Jesus thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said, arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole. There are 3 things I want to kind of hopefully bring out that the Lord brought into my spirit this morning. I hope that you'll listen and hear my heart and hear what God is saying. First of all of these men lived in the same, they had the same condition. They were leprous, and under the law of Moses, they were thus unclean. And everywhere they went, they had to say, unclean, 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 unclean. And they were in the same state, unclean. They were basically falling apart and destined for death. So here were 10 men that had a death sentence on their lives. They were in the same condition. They see Jesus, and they cry out for mercy. Now, in the same way, all of us, if you're a child of God, we're in the same condition. We were unclean, 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 but we cried out to mercy to God through Christ. We cried mercy. the blind man, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." The woman of Sidon, "Have mercy." Throughout the Bible, the psalmist, that's why I say I'm kind of leaving the Psalms. Throughout the Psalms, David would cry, "Mercy, have mercy on me." You see, you and I need to get to the place that we realize that we have arrived wherever we've arrived in Christ, not by our works, not by our power, not by our grace, but by His grace and mercy. There's a song I heard the Mississippi Mass Choir sing, "Your grace and mercy has brought me through. I'm living each moment because of you." You see, when we are in that condition of sin, when we are in that condition of loss, we're in that condition of in trouble, the only thing that we can do is cry out for mercy. "Have mercy on me, Jesus, thou son of David." They had the same condition. Then they heard the same command. "Go show yourselves to the priest." Under the law of Moses, if you were cleansed of leprosy, you had to go to the priest to be declared clean. Jesus is telling them, follow the word. Do what the word says. If you have your Bible still with you, go to Matthew chapter 7. I want to show you something that maybe you've not noticed before. "Therefore," Jesus says, this is Jesus speaking, "whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Skip down to verse 26. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." What he is calling all of us to do is to stop listening to the world, start listening to the word. He says you've got two groups of people. These are people in the church. Those who hear the word of God, live the word of God, obey the word of God, do the word of God. When storms come, when troubles come, your foundation is here. Like David, you can say, "I know I hear, when I call, you hear. You're my sword, my shield, my fortress, my rock, my stability." The problem with many believers today is they built their lives on what men have said, not what the word of God has said. We've listened to these men who say, "If you say this, then God has to do this." No, 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 no. If your foundation is Jesus Christ, Him crucified, resurrected from the dead, and you've been adopted into the family, then you can call out to God the Father, because Hebrews says that Jesus is making intercession at the right hand of God the Father for you, that you can find help in the time of need. That means when the storms come, when the sicknesses come, when the trials come, you can stand firm on the rock and know you'll stand. But those who don't obey and follow the word of God can't. They have no foundation. So these men, they had the same condition. We, as a human race, all have the same condition. We cry out for mercy, and He responds. But yet, something happens between these two and the point that I want to really kind of drill down into. As they were obedient, they began to get healed. Now, truthfully, we do not know if the other nine made it to the priest or not. Did they see themselves and go home? Did they see themselves and go to the priest? We don't know what the other nine did. There are those in the church world today that God has done magnificent things in their lives, and you'd never know it. You would never know that God has saved, delivered, and healed them, because you just don't know. The other nine. Some of you today are getting ready while you listen to this podcast, either to go to church, or you've just gotten back from church, or perhaps you're in somewhere in the middle. Perhaps this is what you listen to when you're bored on Sunday. Whenever you're listening or watching this particular video, don't be the other nine. The other man, the tenth, had another plan. He realized that God had done something in his life. Oh, somebody needs to get a hold of this. I wish somebody's amening me right now. He realized that by obeying the word of God, God had done something magnificent in his life. And in this magnificence of the power of a living God, there was only one response he could make. He runs back to Jesus, Yeshua, the healer, and begins to glorify God, the healer. It is easy when something happens in our lives to allow the world to tell us it came from another place. You're no longer sick. The doctors and the medicine worked. You're no longer in financial distress. I guess listen to this guru and that guru and this guru that helped you get out of debt. You're no longer in depression. I guess the meds worked. And we'll accept that. We live, if you will, and I'm going to preach a sermon one day from Genesis 3 called Life in the Google Tree. That we live based on what someone says happened or didn't happen, removed from the Word of God. Your healing comes. Medicine may play a role in your healing. A doctor may play a role. But doctors do not heal. It says by his stripes you were healed. He glorified God. And then put himself in a place of humility and thanksgiving. When you get a miracle, that doesn't mean that you're God's chosen child. It means you're one of his kids. And a place of humility and thanks says, I am not worthy to even be called your son, but because you put a ring on my finger and a robe on me and shoes on my feet and said, my son or daughter who was dead is now alive. I live every day in a place of humble thanks. Or as David would say, I open the gates of my heart so that the King of glory, the Lord of hosts, can come in. You see, so many today don't want to give God the glory. Oh, they'll say, I give thanks to God, but they're just using God in a generic term. When God healed you, what was your testimony? When he delivered you from whatever your bondage, what was your testimony? David said, I will tell all generations, even those not even born yet, they'll know what God has done for me. Even today, thousands of years later, we still talk of the story of David and Goliath. We still talk of Peter walking on the water. We still talk about Lazarus. We still talk about these great miracles and things that God did. And yet we look at our own lives and we act like God no longer does that. And he does. And he says, give me the glory. Get into a place of humility and thanksgiving and watch what I can do. Call unto me, he said. But yet, instead of being the one, we are the nine. We go about our daily business. We keep our mouth shut. We don't tell anybody what God has done. Because we don't want to be seen as one of those people. As one of them Jesus fanatics. We don't want anybody to see us as, oh, they belong to that religion right now that's nobody in the world likes because they're against everything the world's for. Don't be the other nine. Be the one. Glorify God. Give God all the glory. You get a healing, God did it through Jesus Christ. You get out of debt, God provided the wisdom and the way and the means to get you out of there. He brings you out of a bondage to some kind of drug or pornography or anything. It was not your 12-step process you went through. It was not that you were able to get the inner strength to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. It's because you grabbed hold of the hem of His garment and you hung on for dear life until He delivered you and set you free. Be the one who comes back and bows at His feet and says, to God be the glory, great things He has done. God and God alone is your source. God and God alone is the one that will give you the ability to walk out of your valley, lift your hands and praise the Lord. Then Jesus says something that changes the dynamic. The man had gotten his physical healing, but in the last verse, he says, arise, get up, go your way, go home. Not go back to the priest, but now go home, because your faith has made you whole. In the Disciples' Literal New Translation, it says, your faith has restored you. This man came for a physical healing, but he walked away with spiritual victory and restoration. I don't think you heard me this morning, because if you did hear me, wherever you are, you'd be shouting right now. Some of you came to Christ looking for just a healing, just for touch this old body of mine. But then Jesus did something because of your faith. He restored you back to all that the devil had, you had allowed Satan to take from you. He restored it back in full. All that the enemy meant for evil, God restored. You look at the life of Joseph. God restored everything. Some of you listening today have allowed the enemy to tell you to be the other nine. Don't let anybody know what you believe. Don't tell anybody about this man called Jesus. Don't let anybody know that you know that you know. But this Samaritan, this man who was not part of God's chosen people, came back in worship. Came back and found restoration in the midst of a healing. Some of you today need not only a physical healing, but you need restoration. I'm telling you, be the one. Be the one. Be the one. Be the one. Don't be the nine. Give God glory for everything that's happening. And all things give thanks, even if you don't understand it. Because if you can learn to give thanks and give God the glory and get yourself out of the way, God can do. He says, I can do great and mighty things you can't even imagine or think of, because of the power that's at work in you. So my question today is very simple. What number are you? Are you part of the nine? Or are you the one? Are you part of the group that just goes along, doesn't say anything? You know, you might go to church, might raise your hand, might say amen when the preacher's preaching, but the only interaction you have with Christ and His Word is once a week, twice a year for some folk. Or are you having that relationship like David that says early in the morning, when I lie down at night, I will praise Him in the morning I will praise him in the noontime. I will praise him when the sun goes down. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, for this is the day. That's a question, my friend, only you can answer. Will you pray with me, please? Father God, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy. We thank you so much for your grace and your glory. Father, I pray for those who are listening today. Speak to their heart. Speak to them that they will know that they know that they know who this King of Glory is. Father God, for what we know you're going to do in and through the lives of your people. Lord, if there's someone watching or listening that doesn't know you, let them today call out to you for mercy. And let their faith realize that you are the only begotten of God. And you've risen from the dead. And you're now at the right hand making intercession for them so they can be saved, sealed by the Holy Spirit in a spirit of adoption as an earnest payment for what's yet to come. And Father, for what we know you're doing in and through your people, we give you all glory. Thank you for joining us today right here at Restoration Bible Fellowship. I'm so glad that you're with us every time you join. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast at Podomatic and Apple iTunes and our YouTube channel. We're probably going to be moving over to Rumble just because of some other issues with other ministries I've had with YouTube. Not decided exactly what that will look like yet, but it's when I know, you'll know. I want to thank you so much for joining me today right here in West Phoenix, Arizona. Remember, God loves you. I do too. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Until next week, this is Dr. Eric Stansbury saying, have a great week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Walking in the Word with Pastor, Teacher, Evangelist Eric W. Stansbury. Feel free to email Pastor Stansbury at pastorstansbury@gmail.com. We thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Walking in the Word.